Andrew here with you on News on the Hill, and it is time now for our monthly Bridging the Gap conversation presented by the Orange Partnership, where on the first Friday of each month, we'll meet local partners working together to close the communication gap between parents and their children and help all young people in our community live healthy and productive lives. And on this edition of Bridging the Gap, we will be speaking with Bria Wolson, Program Specialist for Orange Partnership. Bria, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We also have in studio from Overdose Lifeline and an Orange Partnership board member, it is Christy Barker Cummings. Christy, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And I wanted to talk, first of all, just about, you know, we do this every month, and it bears repeating, though, what the actual mission, what the work that the Orange Partnership does. So I wonder if you could each take a moment to introduce yourselves and talk about what your role in the work is. We'll start with Bria.
Yeah, so I'm a program specialist, and I develop and implement our communications and development strategies at Orange Partnership, responsible for communicating with our stakeholders, our funders, and the general public. I assist with our youth empowerment program, responsible for writing scripts for their podcasts and general marketing on the website. I'm also a parent myself, so I kind of know on the ground what the teens today are going through.
We've also got Christy Barker Cummings.
So I'm an Orange County resident for 20-some years, and I am an epidemiologist by training and worked in public health my whole career, but I lost my son, Kevin, to an overdose in 2018. He was just 18 years old. And so I became involved with substance use prevention work and found the Orange Partnership and joined as a stakeholder. And I've just recently joined as a board member.
Well, thank you so much for your work and taking that difficult circumstance and trying to make it better for really the entire community. Just this segment alone, I've been in the car when the commercials that come out of this segment come on, and it's like literally sparked conversation with my kids. And it usually doesn't go anywhere like real far, but it's an entry point, right? And it normalizes these conversations, and that's really something as a parent that I value.
Well, that's great to hear.
This, as we all sit in this room and talk about how much we value this work, we're going through a period where all sorts of organizations whose work we value are facing the loss of federal funding. So I wanted to check in with the Orange Partnership. Is this something that is affecting your work?
Yes, we think it will be. We're kind of waiting right now to see and wait till the other shoe drops. But we've already seen what's happened at the NCDHHS, the Department of Health and Human Services here in North Carolina, with tobacco control and prevention. That division had to let go a majority of its staff, which now limits tobacco and nicotine prevention efforts just at a time when nicotine use is actually at its highest in our county in decades. And similarly, any federal funding cuts that could essentially halt much of the work that's being done in Orange County by a lot of our Orange Partnership Coalition stakeholders. And this bill, just to say what it specifically is going to impact, there are major cuts for the Centers for Disease Control and also for SAMHSA, the Agency for Mental Health and Substance Abuse. And that's where the prevention dollars, you know, come for substance use and what we are funded under, one of the programs under SAMHSA. And however, Congress has submitted their own proposed budget to retain Partnerships for Success, which is the SAMHSA funding program that we are in danger of losing. But it remains to be seen what will happen. And we're hoping lawmakers will choose to keep it, because we know that prevention is cost saving versus having to deal with problems later.
So would this be another get in contact with your representative and senator situation, where here's something that's on the ground that's impacting the community in real time that is possibly being affected? Actually, several things under SAMHSA.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, there's your call to action if you're listening. I put that on the list of things to contact your representatives about. Anything to add to that, Bria?
I would just say that Orange Partnership, we really hone in on what the underlying root causes are leading to risky behaviors in our youth. So as part of our call to action, it's not just about educating on the risks of substance use, but we really have to look as a community as a whole at what's in the environment that may lead youth to the risky behavior. So we're all really involved in this together.
Right. And that's where we get into like a lot of the mental health challenges. And that's the phrase that comes up is primary prevention. What kind of impacts are made through the work of primary prevention?
First, I think we should define it because a lot of people confuse primary prevention and early intervention. But we think about it as any action that keeps something negative, something bad from happening in the first place. So a great example would be vaccines that we take our infants in for, neonatal vaccines to prevent childhood illnesses that we know could really kill them. And this another is seatbelts. We don't even think about it. We use seatbelts and they are the reason that automobile accidents deaths from that have really gone down. So primary prevention is really trying to get at, to strengthen the kid's underlying coping mechanisms and resources so that they never even turn to substances in the first place.
That makes a lot of sense, right? Like they're, if you put people in a situation where they're living a fulfilling life and are happy and motivated and ambitious, they're less likely to find themselves using substances in the first place. And obviously there's a whole bunch of other positive outcomes there, right? It's not just, the main jumping off point is prevent substance use, but it's also, we're talking about like a lifestyle that's going to benefit young people in myriad ways.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about how the community can get involved in helping the partnership.
Let's see. We have a ribbon cutting ceremony coming up. We just opened a teen space. I know we've had our ADAPT interns on the show before in high school, and they're really helping us examine the gaps and needs that are in the community, but also in the schools. We recently implemented a new program called Supports Without Consequences, where we actually offer cessation services and education in the schools. Orange High School is piloting that along with the Orange County Health Department. So our youth are an integral part of our programs. So we'd really like to showcase our youth space coming up September 4th. We have a ribbon cutting ceremony happening. It's just going to offer a lot more collaboration and on the ground work for our youth. So that's what I'd like to promote right now is come out and take a look at our space and the good work that we're doing.
And the partnership has monthly meetings. Any people, we welcome organizations as well as individuals who have any of these, you know, interests and in preventing youth substance use to come to our monthly meetings. And
yeah, one other thing happening this weekend specifically is Orange County Schools. They're having their first ever back to school fair this Saturday from 12 to 4. It's at Orange High School. So we're really trying to bring the community together, students and parents, and it just brings a more cohesive group together to really kick off the school year in a good way and preventing substance use.
We're visiting with Bria Wolson and Christy Barker Cummings. We're just about out of time here on Bridging the Gap. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention that we haven't gotten to yet?
I think we're good. You know, visit our website, orangepartnership.org. We've got a new sustainability plan in place. So if you'd like to make a donation to the youth work we're doing, feel free to donate on our website.
And write to your legislators because, just as an example, at least $300K so far has been infused into community organizations in Orange County that serve families and youth. And if we lose our funding, we're not sure how those programs will continue.
And as polarized as things are right now, it's like this is one of those things that people can get behind. If enough people talk about this to their legislature, the legislature is not going to be like, I don't want kids not on drugs. We can move the needle on this if enough people speak out.
Exactly.
Thanks for tuning in to Bridging the Gap, presented by Orange Partnership, a community collaborative working to close the communication gap between parents and their children so all young people can live healthy and productive lives. You can find more information at orangepartnership.org. And thanks once again to our guests, Bria Wilson and Christy Barker Cummings. Thanks for your time and have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.